Psalm 49 is a very interesting psalm. If you wanted to write a heading over it, you could write this, Death the Great Leveler. Death is the great leveler. Another way of looking at this psalm is connecting it with the first epistle of John, where we see the characterization of the world. It's really a description of the world and man's place in the world and how man puts so much stock and store in this present life and in wealth and so on. Yet, at the end of the day, they just are like the animals that go down into the dust and have nothing to show for it. It's the deception of Satan to think that things continue on forever. And when they pass on, the deception ends for them, but it's passed on to those that are left behind. So let's just take a look at it. Psalm 49, verse 1 says, "Hear this, all you all peoples. Give ear, all inhabitants of the world." And so what we see here, this is a truism, or this is a truth, I should say, that is for all people. It's not restricted to the Jews or any particular class or any particular dispensation. But this is a general truth brought out in the Word of God for all people. Give ear, all inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. My mouth will speak wisdom, and the meditation of my heart will be with understanding. So the psalmist, which is actually one of the sons of Korah, says that his understanding comes from God. It's a revelation that he's received from God by the Spirit about man's position and man's condition in the world. And it's true for both the rich and the poor, both for the high and the low. You know, in the world, the rich may discount the poor, generally speaking, and are glad for their position and so on. But the thing is that when death knocks, when death calls, they are of equal standing. And so this message is both for the high and the low. There's no high-priced lawyers that will get them out of the position that they're in as being under the sentence of death. In the world, they may be able to afford lawyers to get them off the hook for this transgression or that transgression, where the poor man ends up in prison. But when death knocks, that's it. And at the judgment bar of God, that is it. There's no deals to be made there. So this is a message to all. And the psalmist has wisdom from God to bring it out. He says in verse 4, "I will incline my ear to a proverb. I will express my riddle on the harp," or my parable on the harp. This is a parable that's been given to him. And sometimes we get this with the sons of Korah or Asaph as well. Their psalms are highly prophetic, and they speak in parables. I'm thinking of, I believe it's Psalm 78, where Asaph says, "I speak to them in dark sayings and parables." And it's actually quoted by the Lord Jesus in connection with the mystery of the kingdom of heaven in Matthew 13. But nevertheless, I digress. Let's go on. Verse 5, "Why should I fear in the days of adversity when the iniquity of my foes surround me? Even those who trust in their wealth and boast in their abundance of their riches." And, you know, thinking of the age of the psalm, written perhaps 1,000 years before Christ was born, so let's say 3,000 years ago, not much has changed in the world. There's nothing new under the sun, where he says they trust in their wealth and they boast in the abundance of their riches. The here and now is everything to them. And their inward thought is that life will continue on. But, you know, we can think of the story that the Lord Jesus told in Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, where the man, the farmer, was rich. And he said, "My soul, take thine ease." He had great prosperity. He says, "What I'll do is I'll make more barns and put more of my goods in those barns. And then I will sit back and enjoy them and take it easy." But what is God's voice in this? He says, "Thou fool, tonight thy soul shall be required of thee. You can't take it with you." And so the psalm continues, Verse 7, no man can by any means redeem his brother or give a ransom, give to God a ransom for him, for the redemption of his soul is costly, and he should cease trying forever, that he should live on eternally, that he should not undergo decay. There's two things brought out here. One is that the worth or the value of a soul, and again, the Lord Jesus brings this out in the Gospels. We think of Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 36, where he says, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What price could be paid for the redemption of a soul? Well, we know the cost. It's the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of the Lamb. That's the value of a soul, and that was the price that was paid to redeem us. But the other side of this coin is, we have in verse 9, where it says that he should live on eternally, that he should not undergo decay. I don't believe this is connected with the ransoming of the soul, the redeeming of the soul, the price of the ransom. I believe it's really those worldly-minded ones who are left behind. There's different ways to interpret this, where their thought is that they will live on eternally, that they will not die, and that they should not undergo decay. It's not the hope that we die and undergo decay, but yet our bodies will be redeemed. I mean, there's many things that many passages of Scripture that bring that out, of course. Even Job speaks of that. And, of course, the New Testament is brought out in full light. But that's not the thought of the psalm here. It's the person who is rich, the person who has lands. He's saying this. He will live on eternally, and that he should not undergo decay at all. We'll live forever. And you know, you see this. People don't really believe that they're going to die and face the judgment. And sometimes, you know, I've been at the deathbed in the hospital, and it's not to almost the last minute that it dawns on the person that there's no hope now, that they're heading into eternity, and you could see the panic. Now, verse 10, for he sees that even wise men die, the stupid and the senseless alike perish, and leave their wealth to others. Now, this is the psalmist saying this. This is what he sees. You can't take it with you. That's essentially what he's saying. Now, he describes them in verse 11. Their inner thought is that their houses are forever, and their dwelling places to all generations. And that's just what I've been saying. People think that they will continue on forever, even though technically they'll tell you, oh yes, I will die at a certain point of time, but they don't really believe it. And then we get in verse 12, a man in his pomp will not endure. He is like the beasts that perish. It says just previous to that, they have called their lands after their own names. And you see that all around about us, where people put their names on buildings and on structures and on lands and on everything, as if that when they pass on, they will continue. But it's a deception. And so man in his pomp will not endure. He's like the beasts that perish. Now, some cults like Jehovah's Witnesses and so on, or those who deny the immortality of the soul, who believe in soul sleep or annihilationism, they quote this verse out of context. They'll say, man is like the beasts that perish. But what the psalmist isn't saying, the psalmist is not saying that man is like the beasts that perish in the sense that we both have the same end after death. That's what he's saying. It's that we all die. You know, man and beast alike die. And man should learn the lesson there, but he doesn't learn the lesson. And a man without understanding, a man who doesn't realize that he is responsible to God, and that, you know, he's going to stand before the judgment seat of God, and that he's going to actually die. He's like a beast who doesn't have understanding, and both alike perish. That's what it means, not the false doctrine of soul sleep. Then verse 13. This is the way of those who are foolish, and of those after them who approve their words. As sheep they are appointed for Sheol. Death shall be their shepherd, and the upright shall rule over them in the morning. And their form shall be for the Sheol to consume, so they have no habitation. But God will redeem my soul from the power of Sheol, for he will receive me. Now, this is the hope of the psalmist. And it's wonderful to see these little gems here in these psalms. And then verse 15, it says, for God will redeem my soul from the power of Sheol, for he will receive me. Then I should say, verse 16, do not be afraid when a man becomes rich, when the glory of his house is increased. For when he dies, he will carry nothing away. His glory will not descend after him. Though while he lives, he congratulates himself, and though men praise you when you do well for yourself, he shall go to the generation of his fathers, and they will never see light. That is the grave, that is death. And so this is so much like what the Apostle John says, the world passes away and the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God will abide forever. The world is passing away, but men put all their hope in this passing scene. Then verse 20, man in his pomp, yet without understanding, is like the beasts that perish, and he repeats that. I just wanted to note that little expression there in verse 18. But while he lives, he congratulates himself, and though men praise you when you do well for yourself, yes, people will praise you when you do well for yourself. And that's the principle of the world, self-pleasing. That's the very core principle of the world, self-pleasing. But you know, it says of the Lord Jesus in Romans chapter 15, verse 3, but Christ pleased not himself. His pleasure was to do the will of God. And that, dear friend, was to die as a redeemer for both you and I. May the Lord bless your day today.